this is Daniel Garber at the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Well, it's fall now. Days are getting shorter, nights are getting colder, and the leaves are starting to turn yellow and red. And the government might be changing soon, too. There are provincial elections happening across the country, with the Ontario elections happening on October 6th. That's next Thursday. Then on a larger scale, there's another vote coming up in the United Nations General Assembly, whether to admit Palestine as a full member state. Well, if you're curious about this issue and want to know what's being discussed, there's a film festival starting tonight called the Toronto Palestine Film Festival. The TPFF presents a largely secular political look at the Israel-Palestine conflict from the Palestinian point of view in a series of movies. So this week I'm going to look at three movies from that festival, two documentaries and a drama about terrorism, humor, and love. And also talk briefly about two more docs opening in Toronto. First, Not a Funny Movie, directed by Vanessa Rousselot. Rousselot, a French-Palestinian filmmaker, wants to know if the people of Palestine ever smile, laugh, or tell jokes. So she sets out in a car with a camera to try to capture some of the humor, mainly dark humor, that Palestinians use in the West Bank, in Jenin, Hebron, Bethlehem, and in Israel and Haifa. Is there a particular style of joke that you can call Palestinian? She discovers a few interesting things. First, that the people of Hebron seem to serve as their newfies or Belgians, the naive butt ends of local jokes. Second, she finds out that there's an elderly man who at the time of the first intifada set about recording and categorizing thousands of local jokes on index cards that he pulls out and produces and reads for the camera. The hour-long TV documentary gives a glimpse of everyday people, schoolgirls, a stand-up comic, a shopkeeper, angry young men in coffee houses, and how they express themselves. Here's a typical joke from the movie. Okay, a world leader dies and goes up to heaven. He's matched up with an old and plain-looking woman. Then, across the clouds, he sees Yasser Arafat cuddling a beautiful Marilyn Monroe. He says to God, "Hey, that's not fair. How come you rewarded Arafat over me?" And God says, "I'm not rewarding Arafat. I'm punishing Marilyn Monroe." Next, Children of the Revolution, directed by Shane O'Sullivan. This documentary traces the lives of two hugely important radical terrorist activists or revolutionaries, you can choose what the way you want to label them, who grew up in the two defeated nations from World War II, Japan and Germany. The two notorious figures, Ulrich Meinhof of the German Red Army faction and Shigenobu Fusako of the Japan Red Army, were even more remarkable in that they were both women. So this movie tells about their history as seen through the eyes of their young daughters who are pulled into this turbulent era by their mothers, giving an immediacy rarely seen in movies about such highly charged, controversial figures. Okay, in the late 60s, the conservative middle-class societies of these two countries were suddenly turned on their head with the convergence of U.S., the Vietnam War, the anti-war movement, the Cultural Revolution in China, and unrest in Latin American countries. The new heroes of the day were suddenly Mao, Marx, and Che Guevara. So Meinhof worked for a communist-funded tabloid called Concrete in Germany and became a part of the radical culture that was shaking up Europe. And Shigenobu in Japan, the granddaughter of a radical right-wing activist, joined the leftist student uprisings that were changing the whole power structure, at least for a time, in her country. So both of the figures somehow ended up in Beirut in Lebanon and then Syria after meeting with a Palestinian revolutionary. From there, these two women and their contemporaries on behalf of the People's Front for the Liberation of Palestine, the PFLP, committed a series of hijackings, kidnappings, shootings, and bombings that held the world wrapped in the late 60s and 70s. They hijacked planes to North Korea, bombed a plane in Cairo, held hostages, and led a horrific attack, killing dozens of civilians in the Tel Aviv airport. But at the same time, they brought their cause, actually the cause of the PFLP, to the front page. So they were different from contemporary terrorists nowadays in that they did their acts for this ideal of a worldwide revolution, not for their own national interests or of her group. So through a kid's eyes, the situation was both fascinating and scary. Meinhof's daughter talks of seeing kids playing on the street when she was little. They weren't playing cops and robbers. They were playing Bader and Meinhof. Shigenobu's daughter remembers that kids she knew in the refugee camps all wanted to grow up as either doctors, nurses, or fedayeen, guerrillas. This is a fascinating story illustrated with countless snapshots, TV, and news clips, although portrayed in dramatic form in two recent movies, the Bader-Meinhof Complex and the United Japan Army. This is the first documentary I've ever seen that combines the two together. Equally surprising, very surprising, is that it takes a largely sympathetic stance toward the hijackers. And opening up this festival is a screening tonight, Pomegranates and Myrrh, directed by Najwar Najjar. Okay, a good-looking young Christian couple, Kamar and Zaid, played by Yasmin El Masri and Ashraf Farah, travel from the West Bank to Jerusalem for a happy wedding party. Zaid's family are farmers who have an olive grove, and it's time for the harvest and olive oil press. Meanwhile, Kamar is a modern dancer whose group is preparing to meet a Palestinian choreographer called Kais, played by Ali Suleiman, who is visiting from Lebanon. They're preparing a performance of traditional stomping and clapping folk dances called Pomegranates and Myrrh. But things start to go wrong when a happy nighttime picnic in the olive grove is interrupted by Israeli helicopters carrying young soldiers. Zaid is put into a detention center for hitting a soldier, and his olive farm is in danger of being confiscated for security reasons. Now it's up to the new bride to try to free her husband and at the same time to stand up to the authorities and hold on to their family's land. They hire a sympathetic Israeli lawyer to help them keep the army and encroaching settlers at bay. Will Zaid admit to a lesser charge so he can save his land? Will they manage to get the olive harvest in and pressed in time? And what is Kamar up to with that scarf-wearing choreographer and his trust exercises? Does he have designs on her while her husband is in jail? Pomegranate and Myrrh is a bittersweet drama about love in a time of conflict, beautifully shot, with warm and loving families fighting shadowy settler terrorists and faceless shouting soldiers. Although I thought the story was told in a heavy-handed way, it does have some beautifully poetic lines, and it does offer a largely unseen look at life with all of its crises through Palestinian eyes. Also playing this weekend are the great documentaries We Were Here and Resurrect Dead. We Were Here is a very moving oral history of the AIDS outbreak in the 80s, remembered by some of the people in San Francisco who lived through it. That opens today. Resurrect Dead is a really unusual documentary about the strange, unidentified man who has been leaving tiled messages in the tarmac of city streets across the continent with crypto-religious messages about the planet Uranus, the historian Toynbee, and Stanley Kubrick's 2001. What? What makes this movie so unique is that it was made on zero budget by a group of marginal detectives and conspiracy theorists who use things like ham radio to try to find out the message's origins, but who are as fascinating as the man they're trying to find. It's a movie called Resurrect Dead. Check local listings for We Were Here and Resurrect Dead, and for information about the TPFF, go to tpff.ca. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, for CIUT 89.5 FM, and on my website, culturalmining.com.